The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve, welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for this portion of Thy precious Word. We praise Thy name that Thou didst lift the veil and let us see the future state and where the wicked and the righteous will dwell for eternity. And O our Father, as we preach upon this subject today and warn precious souls, wilt thou give us a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that we may preach with compassion and pathos and love unto precious souls. And also we cry unto thee that by thy Spirit thou wilt open hearts to receive thy precious word, for without the working of thy Spirit all is in vain. But we do look to thee, knowing that by the foolishness of preaching thou hast ordained to save those that believe. So we do preach, waiting upon thee to move hearts, trusting that Thou wilt have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon this nation. All is going down to the pit so fast. And our Father, hearts are not broken. Souls are not grieved. But we pray that Thou wilt make us a grieved one as we cry to men to be reconciled unto God. Help us and lead us and guide us, and to give unto Thyself glory in this hour, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. Say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We're happy to hear from you, and I praise the Lord that He's working in many, many hearts. It has pleased the Lord to enable us to put these messages in print now regularly, and so they will be being mailed to you as you write for them. And so we desire for you to write. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And again, we want to offer the free book that we're giving away this month entitled Profiting from the Word. It's a study in the Scriptures on sin, God, Christ, prayer, good works, obedience, the world, the promises, joy, and love. Profiting from the Word. You will enjoy reading it, and it certainly will be a profit to your soul as you pursue it. Write for it by name, will you? Profiting from the Word. Again, our mailing address, Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. I want to continue these messages that we've been bringing on the warnings of God's Word. Our message today will be taken from Luke 16, verses 19 through 31, which we read for our Bible reading today, concerning our Lord's view of the future state of the dead, that it is a self-conscious state, and that there is life beyond the grave, both for the righteous and the wicked. There is much in print upon the subject today. Life beyond the grave, life beyond death. Is there something out there? I want you to listen. God's Word definitely and positively tells us that there is. And here in Luke 16, our Lord pulls back the veil and lets us look beyond death to see that Revelation 22:11 is true, where we read, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Knowing this warning of God's Word, coming from the lips of him who cannot lie, let you and I ask the Holy Spirit to turn the words of this message into our hearts, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may shine in. And my friend, will you pray for me as I preach? I have cried that the Lord would not let me deliver this message with a cold and dead heart, but with a compassionate heart, a loving heart. For here we're going to find our Lord's view of life beyond the grave. What happens to souls after they die? The Word is very plain. The Word is very true. Now what we're going to give you comes from the lips of our blessed Lord Jesus. For He was the one that gave this story of the rich man and Lazarus here in Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. The first thing that I would call your attention to here in Luke 16 is that the future state is the final state. For we read in verse 26 that there is a great gulf fixed between the abode of the righteous and the abode of the wicked, and no man can pass between these two places. Our Lord again sets this forth in Mark 9:43 in these words, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." You see, my dear friend, the Scriptures do not teach a second chance after death. They teach that only in this life does a man have the gracious opportunity to be saved by the grace of God in Christ, based upon Christ's cross work for us. Therefore, remember, where death finds us, there eternity will hold us forever and ever. If it finds us in Christ we shall live for eternity. If it finds us outside of Christ, still dead in trespasses and sins, there eternity will hold us in that state forever and forever. Therefore, when death comes, all questions are settled and all doubts are resolved. Dear friend, there will be no arguing then as to whether the Bible is the Word of God. For then you shall know of a certainty that it is His Word. Also, you shall know that the threatenings of God's Word, as well as the promises of God's Word, will be carried out by Him who sits upon the throne. All your arguments as to whether or not there is a hell will be over, for you will find that the soul who dies outside of Christ must live forever beneath the wrath of a sin-avenging God. God does not leave us in doubt in this regard, for we read in John 3:36, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." Oh, that men would believe the Word of God, and would believe that God sent His Son, and that God spoke through His Son, and that His Son told us that the future state, life after death, is the final state. Second, I would call your attention to something else here in Luke 16. I see our Lord's description of the life after death, that it is a conscious state. Yes, the future state is a conscious state. We find here in Luke 16, Abraham and the rich man speaking. We find the rich man being told to remember. We find the rich man being tormented with real pain. We find the rich man asking that someone be sent to warn his five brothers not to come to that place of torment. Let me repeat it again. It is a place of consciousness. For the rich man in hell had knowledge that his unsaved brethren were sure to come there. He had memory, for he was told to remember his sinful life on earth. He had feeling, because he knew he was in pain. He had perception, for he could see the righteous Lazarus in peace and quietness in paradise. He could hear, for he was answering Abraham. Yes, dear friend, he was in a conscious state in hell with all of his faculties. He could hear, he could see, he knew, he could speak, and he could feel. Are you listening? I want you to. In the third place, we find here in Luke 16 that life after death is a world of knowledge. That is, conscious knowledge. Will you listen closely as we go into this point? Will you? I call upon you to listen. The human spirit, be it holy or sinful, friend or enemy of God, in eternity will always and forever beware of its condition. If you are made holy in Christ, washed in His precious blood, redeemed by His marvelous grace, you shall always be conscious of this in the future state. Also, if you be sinful, unrepenting, God-hating, you cannot for one instant lose the distressing consciousness of sin as you are made to look upon the holy God whom you hate, and this throughout eternity. Listen now. If we enter eternity as the redeemed of the Lord, there shall be no change. For the same knowledge and experience that we had here on in part, we shall have there in completeness and perfection, for Christ, for heaven begins here on earth. Here God's people learn to hate sin and to love holiness through the work of God's grace for the Holy Spirit. You see, as the Holy Spirit works effectually in our hearts, we come to abhor that which God abhors. That is, our sinful will, our sinful ways, and the plague of our heart, which is our damnable sin nature. Also that which we long for, which is to be like Him, we shall be one day. But we learn to know somewhat of these things while we are here on earth. And praise the Lord, we shall one day know even as we are known. Listen to me now. My dear friend, if you enter eternity without Christ, the same will be true. You shall know even as you are known. There you shall know clearly and accurately your own wicked heart. You shall know then that the wages of sin is death. Down here on earth you did not like to retain God in your knowledge, but there you will have no choice. Down here on earth you did not want God's holiness because you hated it, but there you shall see and know and understand the holiness of God without the capacity to love it. Yes, that which you hated in part shall become full fruitage, and you shall know your own heart even as you have been known of God. Oh, my dear friend, will you hear me today? If you could only have a clear understanding of the kind of knowledge which is waiting you upon the other side of the grave, you would become the most thoughtful and the most anxious of men. If you, my unpardoned friend, should be haunted from this moment on with the thought, when I die, I shall enter into the light of God's countenance and obtain a knowledge of my own character that is wicked, and that I must pay for my own sin debt owed to God's holy law. If you had this knowledge in the light of the Holy Spirit's convicting power, dear friend, you would find no rest for your never-dying soul until you have obtained an assurance of the living mercy which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here lies the trouble. Hear me now. Here lies the trouble. The natural man looks on the future state as being like this one, and therefore judges eternity by time. You feel that there is nothing to be concerned about. For if God had not cut me off by now, surely He would not cut me off in eternity. My friend, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, according to Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And I want to warn you, all of these books that are being written today of the experiences of those who have, for a few moments and a few minutes, and even up to 30 minutes, they tell us, have gone out into eternity, and all of them have seen a great light, or there's been a tunnel, the end of it is a great light, and they have a certain feeling, and they feel good, and they feel they see Jesus in all of its glory, and they feel they see heaven. Not a one of them has ever come back and told you anything about hell. Don't be deceived with this. This is not death. This is not the future state. Will you listen to me? I'm just trying to describe it to you today. Listen. The human mind in eternity shall have a distinct and unvarying knowledge of the character of God. the one particular attribute of God that you shall know above all is His holiness, His divine holiness. As Habakkuk 1:13 tells us, He is of pure eyes and to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Yes, God is holy. God hates sin. His holiness and hatred for sin, like every attribute of His, is living and active and must manifest itself. His holy wrath must strike at your sin if it be found upon you, even as it struck at sin when it was found on Jesus Christ, His precious Son, when He took the place of His sinful people on the cross. Oh, what an awful day it will be, my friend, when you are ushered into His divine presence for eternity, to be encircled by a holy and just God whom you hate, and this for eternity. Surely your cry will be like those recorded in Revelation 6, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." But dear friend, oh, listen to me. You will not be able to get away from the knowledge of sin and God's holiness. This is what will make hell what it is. Will you listen to me? Be not deceived. If you die outside of Christ, you're going to go to a Christless grave. Listen again. Get it now. Let it sink down deep into your soul. Your future state outside of Christ will be an open and unavoidable view of God. For that is what is taught here in Luke 16. You will never be able to look in any direction in eternity without beholding the one whom you hate. And that one, the holy and just God. You see, because you hated holiness, and you love sin, you shall gaze at Him and gnaw your tongue for pain, and there will be no repentance in your heart, for there is no repentance in hell, no nothing but remorse, that sorrow of the world that worketh death. Revelation 16:10-11 brings this picture out so vividly. They gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores and repented not of their deeds. You see, this rich man didn't repent in hell. No place for repentance. But listen to me. But on the other hand, get this now. Those who love the Lord and die in the Lord, who have come to say, like David, "We give thanks and rejoice at the remembrance of Thy holiness," these precious souls shall gaze upon Christ and adore Him for His unspeakable gift, yea, He who gave Himself for us, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing that will be to gaze upon Him whom my soul loves and delights in. My friend, let me ask you a question. Will you answer it deep in your soul? Have you ever been brought by the Holy Spirit to see the holiness of God over against your own unholiness? Have you ever been made to see God's holy righteousness against your sinfulness? Oh, pray that the Lord will show you yourself, that He may show you Himself. Listen again. Do not comfort yourself with the thought that there will be a second chance after death, or that there is an intermediate place between heaven and hell, where your soul can suffer a little while and then go into heaven. Do not comfort yourself with the thought that someone can pray your soul out of hell. This is not taught in the Bible. It's not taught here in Luke 16. This comforting doctrine, or as the world loves to believe it to be a comforting doctrine, is not taught in God's Word. This is one of the many lies that your father, the devil, has taught you. You see, dear friend, God's Word plainly declares that for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and this immediately after death. So also with the unbeliever, the Word plainly declares that in hell he shall lift up his eyes, being in torment, and this immediately after death. Job very plainly tells us that every soul that dies outside of Christ is driven by the demons into hell. Do not comfort yourself with the thought that just because some preacher or priest says some nice and wonderful things about you after you're dead, that all will be well. For Galatians 2:6 tells us that God accepts no man's person. And again we read in Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. Also, dear friend, do not comfort your never-dying soul by believing that death ends it all. I don't care how many false prophets and teachers twist Scripture to prove it otherwise. For surely our Lord did not lie here in Luke 16 by telling you of the future state of the righteous and the wicked. My God cannot lie. Let every man be a liar. But let God be true, and He told the truth. Are you listening? Remember this one thing, dear friend, and never forget it. Salvation is of the Lord, and salvation is knowing Christ. Having Him revealed to your heart from His precious Word as your only Lord and Savior. Let me ask you, do you know Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in that living, loving, and lasting union of love? Listen now. To know Christ is first to know yourself to be a lost, hell-deserving sinner, and for God the Holy Spirit to work in you that inward work of regeneration, whereby you come to know and acknowledge your awful, sinful condition before a holy God. It is to be brought down at the feet of the Lord God of heaven in repentance, whereby you are made to sorrow over sin, your sin, because it is against the holy being whom you have hated and against whom you have rebelled. It is to be made to mourn over sin, turn to God from sin, to loathe sin, to hate sin, and to cry to God for its power to be broken in your heart and life. Listen again. When the Holy Spirit works this work of repentance in you, then He will also give you faith to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ as God's only remedy for your sin and to crown Him as Lord of your life. Then when Christ is revealed to your heart out of the Word of God, you will be thankful and grateful that He, in love to your never-dying soul, delivered you from the pit of corruption and cast all your sins behind His back, never to be remembered against you anymore. You will praise Him. You will rejoice in Him. And your walk in Him will be a walk of holiness and righteousness, and you will endeavor to please Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. My dear friend, for the Holy Spirit to so work in your heart is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. To know yourself experientially and to know Christ in that living union of life. Remember, as we sum up our message today, the future state will be the final state. The future state after death will be a conscious state. The future state in Christ will be a blessed state, while the future state outside of Christ will be an open, an unavoidable view of the holy God, which will make hell what it is. My friend, where are you going? If you were to die today, where are you going? Are you in Christ? Do you know to Him? Oh, down at His feet, crying for mercy, that He would look upon you as He looks upon the mercy seat. If you want a copy of this message, you write it. Write us for it, and we'll mail it to you free and postpaid. Also, ask for your free book that we're giving away this month, entitled Profiting from the Word. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.